to thank Suns coach Mike D'Antoni, getting ready for their 15th consecutive win tonight and their 16th tomorrow against the Nuggets. Mark my words, this is a team that is going to be fun to watch. But speaking of something I've looked forward to, in 1978, Dartmouth College, I was a skinny 184-pound kicker trying to make it with the New York Jets, and I had an agent named Mike Slive, who is now the head of the BCS. Mike Slive, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Nick, it's a nice reunion.
It is a great reunion, and I'll tell you what, we're just not that old, are we? We're still young at heart.
That's right. We wouldn't be dealing with college athletics if we weren't.
And this thing, I hope the BCS hasn't aged you, because it's pretty clear that no matter what you all do, until you have about a 16-game playoff, no one's going to be happy.
Well, Nick, you know, it's an interesting discussion, and it's been ongoing year in and year out. But in my role as a BCS coordinator, I get the wonderful opportunity of discussing these issues with you and trying to explain a little bit about where we are, how we got where we are, and where we might go in the years ahead.
Well, Mike, you've been the SEC commissioner for a number of years. This year was your turn to be the head of the BCS. What do you think have been the most important improvements? Before we get to, of course, talking about the selection itself, which you had nothing to do with, what have been the biggest improvements in the BCS in the last 2 years?
Well, I think, Nick, when we expanded the BCS bowls from 4 to 5 and created a national championship game, it added two additional slots, and I think it's obviously encompassed more teams and more leagues than we had before. And what that's really done is really enhanced the interest in the regular season. You know, this year we've got 3 teams in the BCS that have never been there before, and obviously we've got some major institutions that have been here before. But what it's done is that every game, starting way back at the end of August and early September, is in effect a playoff game. And games that were used to be games of regional interest have now become games of national interest. So attendance is up, television ratings are up, interest is up, excitement's up, and the health of college football has never been better. So the BCS has made that kind of contribution to the game, you know, notwithstanding the controversy that surrounds the 1-2 game.
18 days ago, Ralph Russo from the Associated Press wrote an article saying Mike Slive walks the line between the BCS and the SEC. Quoting, he says, as Southeastern Conference Commissioner, Mike Slive's job is to be an advocate for his members at bowl time. He believes being bowl championship series coordinator does not change that. Let's put to lie the accusation that you have any input that would compromise the integrity of being commissioner.
Well, Nick, you know, there are 2 hats to be worn, but there is a significant difference in being the BCS coordinator than might exist in other sports such as basketball, because the coordinator is named aptly. You know, you're just the coordinator. You're not the president. You're not the czar. You don't decide. There are 200 voters between the Harris poll and the coaches poll, plus the computers that decide. And so the coordinator really doesn't make any decisions, but his job is to coordinate the BCS, make sure the games get played, make sure that everything is done properly so that the games can get played. But it's a very different role than in basketball, for example, where when the basketball committee and the chair of the committee actually votes on who gets into into the basketball tournament. So there are 2 hats to wear. We take turns doing it. It's really a contribution that each of us try to make to the health and welfare of college football.
Let's talk about the economic impact, because one of my criticisms of the NCAA has been so much talk about the big money, and of course scholarships are part of it. They tend to corrupt parents' motivations with regard to raising their kids for the right reasons through sports itself. Scholarships are important. Having said that, education and the preparation for a lifetime is important as well. Tell me, is there any way that the BCS and its members can exert some sort of influence to make sure that in the quest to get the big money, that they do more also to ensure that athletes get a true education?
Well, Nick, you know, I think what you've done is put your finger on the reason that we are all doing what we do. If, you know, no matter what the interest, no matter how intense the interest, no matter how marketable major college football and basketball is, it's about education. And the point that we try to make constantly is that college football is part of higher education, and that fundamentally we've agreed many, many years ago, long before you and I were around, that competing, and you know it as a great athlete yourself, that there are lessons to be learned in intercollegiate athletic competition that enhance classroom learning that can't really be taught in the classroom. And for that reason, we have as a society decided that that athletic competition is in fact part of higher education. We, you know, we're unique in the world with regard to that sort of an experiment, but it's fundamental. And that sometimes, you know, it's difficult when one reads about the revenue and one sees what the revenue is, but the point is that it isn't how much revenue is earned. The question is, how is the revenue used? And in our league, for example, that we share revenue about equally amongst our institutions, and it's used to support broad-based athletic programs for nearly 5,000 student-athletes. And that's what gets lost, that we've got 11 sports for women, 9 for men, almost 5,000 athletes, $65 million in financial aid, and that's in effect where the revenue goes. So the fact that that the country has absorbed intercollegiate athletics as a fundamental cultural form of entertainment and that it has economic value doesn't change the core principle, which is simply that that revenue is used to enhance an educational function, i.e. intercollegiate athletics.
And what kind of influence, Mike, can you do in your own way to make sure the NCAA continues to do more to ensure that there's a true educational experience for the athlete?
Well, our presidents and chancellors, amongst many of our colleagues from other leagues, Nick, have kept the pressure on the NCAA to make sure that we continue with our academic reform movement, that we make sure that our student athletes are making progress towards degrees. It's all been changed since you competed, and now you have to have a very substantial percentage of your grades done each year. So, and it's based on your progress towards graduation, not just on eligibility. And we've got APRs now, and I won't go into all of that unless you want me to, which test each team. So each semester, each year, each coach is publicly determined what their academic progress rate is, and it's all now out in the sunshine. So we've done a lot to make sure that everyone understands and has a role in making sure that the academic component of student-athlete is truly taken care of.
I'm going to give an opinion because that's what we do on Radio Mike, and my feeling is, even though Florida certainly is very deserving, that you could make a very strong case that Michigan at a neutral field deserved to compete against Ohio State, that it was so close that it wasn't. The idea is to prove who's the best at a neutral site, isn't it?
Well, you certainly can make the argument, and I understand completely how Michigan folks feel. We were here 2 years ago with Auburn undefeated 13-0, winning the SEC championship and not being able to play in the 1-2 game. So we are very sensitive to the issues. The effort is to try to get the 1-2 teams as determined by the computers and the polls. And as a matter of fact, this year, Nick, the computers were even, and it was the human polls that made the decision that put Florida in the game. Now, having said that, I, for one, since way back in last January when I first took over and spoke to the football writers, said that I was very open-minded about what format we should be using long-term. This is a new format we're now using, and we'll see how it plays out. But I'm hoping to keep encouraging a lot of dialogue and being very open-minded. The question you really asked, one-two game enough, and that's the fulcrum in the debate.
When we come back, we'll talk with Mike Slive, the commissioner, the coordinator, he's the commissioner, in my view, the BCS, about the OnePlus, about a playoffs. They were talking about it even today on ESPN, about having a 10-game playoff format. Of course, there goes the education. There goes the few weeks the players actually do focus on academics. So we're going to talk some more about that on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite in just a minute.